Welcome to Bio, a podcast produced by the Biographers International Organization. Bio is devoted to promoting the work of biographers and advocating for biography as a genre with the support of biographers and biography lovers worldwide. I'm Bio member Sonia Williams in Washington, D.C. On each episode, we talk with biographers about their work. This time, award-winning queer Black feminist scholar and author Alexis Pauline Gums talks about her latest book, Survival is a Promise, The Eternal Life of Audre Lorde, a biography of this celebrated African-American poet and writer. It was published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux in August 2024. Gums will also be a featured panelist at Bio's upcoming conference on biography and Black lives to be held in Montgomery, Alabama on March 22nd of this year. Alexis Pauline Gums was interviewed by fellow biographer and Bio member Tamara Payne.
Hello, Alexis. I'm Tamara Payne. It's so nice to meet you virtually.
It's great to meet you.
And I am looking forward to you joining us in Montgomery.
So excited.
Yeah. So I would just start with, I just love this book about Audre Lorde. And she's such an important writer and poet and essays. I loved her essays, by the way. But I'm going to start with, how did you meet Audre Lorde?
So I met Audre Lorde in the storage closet / meeting room of the oldest feminist bookstore in the United States, Karis Books, in Atlanta, Georgia, which celebrated its 50th anniversary this November. And I was a part of their young women's writers group. And some professor at, I think, Emory had decided to teach Audre Lorde's work. And they had Sister Outsider, her essays, which you are very familiar with, and her collected poems piled up in there. So that was really where I first met her, was in that room, and I started to read her poetry, and I have never stopped. So I was really grateful for getting to meet her in that context.
Were you a reader of poetry before her?
I was. And you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I think the whole universe is a poem, because my grandfather, who has the same birthday as Audre Lorde, is the person who really taught me to love poetry. He would memorize all the poems that he loved, and he would recite them to me and to us. And I started writing poetry from a young age. I started writing poetry about my family members. And so, yes, I have been probably you could say I'm a multi-generational lover of poetry. But her poetry was really like nothing I had ever encountered before in its complexity and its layers and its forthrightness and directness, and yet refractions in all of these directions. So I just felt like it offered a whole world.
How old were you when you first started reading her poetry?
I was 14.
And you were writing poetry at that point too?
Yeah, I started writing poetry when I was probably about 7 years old.
Oh, wow. That's lovely. So kind of jumping ahead, you've met her, you're reading her poetry. What was her poetry opening up for you?
I don't know if I would have been able to explain it, you know, when I was 14, but I think it was opening up a more complex, but also infinitely possible way of being in the world and with other people, but also just with other beings. And also this feeling that it must be possible to say those things that feel impossible to say. And so when all through high school, after I found Audre Lorde, my epigraphs for all my essays for English and for history and for every subject where you could write an essay were always lines from her poetry, because I felt like they had this opening quality. And then once I started with one of those epigraphs, I was like, okay, whatever it is I need to say, I now have the space to say it.
Wow. Because I will say, as a fan of her essays, that she was so exacting, you know, and precise. So I wasn't, you know, really reading her poetry. So through your book, I was really led through her poetry through you. So I really do appreciate that.
Oh, it's an honor. And I would say, I mean, of course I'm biased, but I would say that she brings the precision of poetry to her essays.
Yeah, I find that a lot of the essays that I tend to like are poets.
Yeah.
And you write this in your book that Audre Lorde viewed poetry as a necessary expression to ammunition. Can you expand on that?
You know, I think that for Audre Lorde, the core of her poetry was to remember the power within her and to invite her readers to find the power within themselves. And so she identified as a warrior poet, right? She used the language of war and, as you said, ammunition, artillery. One of her students says, you know, she was like, put that in your arsenal, right? So this is, not necessarily the language I would use as a little bit more of a pacifist, but Audre Lorde was thinking about the fact that it really is a tool for survival when we find our power. And it's a revolutionary thing when we're told, especially as people who share the identities of Audre Lorde, Black, lesbian, feminist, women in general, people of the global majority, people of color. If we're told that we're not powerful or that we have to bow down to these external powers, she feels like through poetry, we can remember that we are powerful and that we do have something to say and that we are sacred and there's a dignity in us that goes even beyond our lifetimes. And so many of the people who've read her work, her essays and her poetry have felt empowered to speak the truth. They felt empowered to act on what they believe. And I think that's one of the enduring gifts that she gives us.
Yeah, definitely. And also you make the point in this book about how she was born in between the wars, right? World War I and World War II. She was born in 1934 in Harlem. I actually live in Harlem, so
Okay.
as I was reading, I was kind of like walking around just like, oh, I wonder, what was it like for her at that time? And I know it was a very different Harlem, and you were bringing that to the fore. And I was also very interested in how you wrote about her relationship with her parents. You talked about her home life being like a war zone, or she described it that way,
How she
rather,
described it, yeah.
using terms like her father was like a dark lightning. Her mother was asleep on her thunder. I
Yeah.
mean, what beautiful language.
Yeah. Beautiful language to describe a difficult situation, but yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, just the curiosity I had just in wanting to explore her home life, and I found when you were talking about her rebellion, even to not speak, she doesn't speak until she's like age 4 or 5.
Right.
And you write this at the beginning of one of the chapters that when she did start speaking, she spoke in poetry.
Yeah, because it's the same thing that she offered us, right? And this is also the way that she theorized her life as a poet. But it was really wonderful to learn about, you know, her children's librarian, the great Augusta Baker, who taught so many children to recite poetry and really gave so many children of Harlem their voices through that. And Audrey was one of them, which I think is really powerful and important to know.
I loved how you wrote about Augusta Baker as it was almost like she was a mother figure too. Like she was giving Audrey kind of that loving nurturing that she felt that she wasn't getting from her own mother. Because it was interesting the way you wrote about her parents' internalized racism and self-hatred. Being in this country, they were immigrants, and then wanting to achieve the American dream, but being rejected at every step. So it was really interesting in writing about that struggle, because it's a struggle that has not left us as Black people in this country. And so it was really interesting how you explored that about Audre Lorde's life. And then the other thing I found fascinating is how you're able to bring the reader into her interiority through her relationship and her discussions with the planet.
Yes.
That was fascinating to me. It was like another layer that brought me closer to Audre Lorde in a really interesting way. How was that for you? I mean, how did you approach writing this extra layer? I don't know if that was part of your background, having this interest in sciences.
It really was something that emerged as I was writing the book. And you know, I'm so glad that you said that you feel like it brought you close to Audrey because That's what I want for the readers, but that's also what I want for myself, you know? And so through my insistence on being close to Audrey, one of the, I don't know if there's a thing called there's method acting. I don't know if there's method biography writing, but I was like, okay, well, what did Audrey read? I'm going to read it. What did she research? I'm going to research it. And I started to find that she was so curious and interested in the planet and in the rocks and in the stars and in all of these beautiful images, right, that we see in her poetry. But for her, they weren't just beautiful images. She would literally buy out whole sections of the bookstore reading about these topics, right? So I felt like I had to do at least as much research to go with her and to introduce a reader to how she was really thinking. She had a definition of life, right? And so as a biographer, I'm thinking about how do I do this life writing? You know, it's one of the most fascinating things about biography. How do you tell the story of life? But she had a theory of what life is and the way that it's interconnected, and how, as Earth, we really are just all parts of this relationship called Earth. That I thought it was really important to exemplify that by actually placing her life in that context, because that's how she lived and that's what she believed about her own life.
And in doing that work, because you're looking at what she's reading, are you also experiencing this through people that she knew, people that she taught, and you had mentioned people like Asha Mandeli. One of my favorite people in the world is Barbara Smith. Were they teaching this even?
Yes. I mean, so, you know, Asha Bandalay has been a beloved mentor of mine since I was a teenager. And I'm grateful for her every day because she was the first person who told me to wake up and write every day, which I still do from the day she told me. And if you look at Asha's poetry, right? I mean, she's such a phenomenal poet. If you look at the poetry of Cheryl Boyce Davies, if you look at the activism of Barbara Smith, you'll see that it all has this accountability to earth. And it's something that I don't think is lifted up. You know, sometimes I think we think of an environmentalist and you're thinking of like some white person who is like chained to a tree. And you know what? I appreciate them for saving the forest, but there is an intimacy with Earth, an accountability for creating a livable relationship with this planet that Black feminists have been practicing for a long time. And Audre Lorde absolutely was part of that. And that was part of what she passed on to her students and to her mentees.
You're right, the symbiotic relation of living on this planet and the planet supporting us and us continuing to feed it and keep it alive. The interconnectedness is something that we really need to really explore and think about more, especially now where everything seems to be siloed and separated.
Right.
And again, this interesting way of just really getting closer to Audre. I hadn't even like thought about it in that until I was reading it and your book and just like really exploring this relationship. And it's definitely a book I think you're going to reread and reread and get something from it. Can you talk about how you came to write this book?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really funny story. I speak to it a little bit in the acknowledgments, but I mean, I guess there's multiple ways to describe it. Of course, I've been on this journey with Audre Lorde since I was 14. And when I went to college, I wrote a senior thesis about Kitchen Table Press, which Audre Lorde was one of the founders of. And when I did my qualifying exams for my PhD, like the next week was when the Spelman Archives had opened Audre Lorde's papers. And I was the first person to go there and spend time in those papers. And spending time in that archive, I was like, you know, there's like the Kingian School of Economics, right? For Martin Luther King Jr. I was like, there should be a school of our Lord. You know, there should be a Lordian school. And I just started it in my living room and was like teaching my community the things I learned in the archive. But then, in addition to the mentors that I already had who had been students of Audre Lorde and loved ones of Audre Lorde, Dr. Gloria Joseph, her partner at the end of her life found out that I was in my living room trying to teach about Audre Lorde, and she was so happy. And she sent me all these broadsides and she sent me even more materials. She invited me to come to St. Croix to live for a little while with her and in the house that she and Audre had lived in. And to support her while she was working on The Wind Is Spirit, which is the bioanthology that she created that collects multiple people's stories and memories of Audre Lorde. It's a really beautiful book that needs to come back into print. And so all of these experiences, right, have poured into me. Now, in my mind, I didn't think I was going to write a biography. I thought I would always share about Audre Lorde and teach about Audre Lorde and do workshops where people could learn more about her poetry and her essays and her insights. But it wasn't until in 2019, Alexis DeVoe, who wrote Warrior Poet, the first biography of Audre Lorde, came to visit. She's a beloved dear mentor as well. And another beloved dear mentor, Sharon Bridgeforth, was interviewing her about how she came. She's basically doing right now what you're doing is like, how did you write this biography of Audre Lorde? And it had been almost 20 years, right? I mean, now it has been more than 20 years since Warrior Poet came out. And one of the things that Alexis said, she was like, I don't understand why no one has written another biography of Audre Lorde since. You know, she said it with this emphasis, and everybody turned and looked at me, and I was like, oh, I'm supposed to do it. And then I don't know how it is cosmic or coincidence or both, but the next day, my current literary agent called me and had got my number from somebody else. And she said, you know, really is time for another biography of Audre Lorde. And I keep asking different Black feminists who would be a good person to write it. And they all keep saying, you, whoever you are, because we didn't know each other, you know, at all. And that was enough for me to get that message twice in 2 days in such a clear way. I was like, okay, Alexis, whatever it is you thought you were going to do over the next few years, you really need to transform all of this relationship, access, archival research, and practice that you've been immersed in into something that anyone can hold and have with them and have the experience, which I'm so glad that you said that you had, of feeling close to Audrey and feeling empowered by who she was, how she was, what she wrote, and her theory of living.
Yeah, and I love that both her biographers have the name Alexis,
I
okay?
mean, that's why I was saying I think the universe is a poem. Like, how did that happen?
Then, was it intimidating at all when Alexis DeVoe looks at you to say this?
Of course, I was trying to hide behind a glass of water, which is see-through, right? That was a terrible hiding place, and it didn't work. I was intimidated in that moment. I was intimidated the whole time I was writing this biography. You know, Audre Lorde is really important to me, but she's so important to so many people, you know, and I really didn't want to, well, let me just say it in the positive. I knew that I really needed to give my best and give my all to this work. Because what Audre Lorde has to say and to offer to the world right now, as you said, when we're so siloed and divided and compartmentalized, is so important. And I wanted to do it in a way where people could really receive it. And that meant whatever I needed to do to get out of the way, you know, get out of my own way, I had to go ahead and give it up. So it was something that I was terrified about, but I think that also Audre Lorde talks about this, right? That fear transformed into a diligence and a specificity and the rigor that I know her life deserves because I'm a witness to what her impact can be, even within my own life.
And I appreciate you talking about that fear, especially you know that there was a work already done, and there's so many people, it could be a blessing and a curse, right? That so maybe that's not the Audrey I knew, you know.
You know, and at a certain point, and you know, because by the way, listen, I listen to this podcast all the time, especially when I started to write a biography. And so I know other people are listening to this who are in the midst of their process. And one of the things I had to tell myself was, you know what? I love all these people, and all of them could write a book about Audre Lorde. And I hope they all do. You know, I would love to read all those books. But at the end of the day, I had to trust myself that there is a way that I can tell this story, and I have to trust that, and I have to trust that it will be enough, and I have to let go of trying to pre-anticipate other people's judgments. Otherwise, I couldn't do the work. I couldn't write it. But the gift has been now in the few months that I've been sharing the book and it's out in the world, the constant feedback that I've been getting from her loved ones is that they really feel her energy there. Like you feel close to her. I didn't meet her and know her the way that they did, but they do feel that the work is true to her energy and that in a way it brings her back to them in a certain way. And I couldn't count on that. You never know how other people are going to interpret your work, but I'm really grateful for that because the most important thing is for that life energy to come through.
No, I again appreciate it. I also describe it as instead of leaning into our fears, leaning into the energy and the pull to the story and the authenticity of that feeling. We can make choices. And I think Audre Lorde often talks about this in her works, that we have to choose, and it's always about the choice and the accountability we have for that. So I appreciate that you leaned into the inclination to do the story. I was also fascinated by her relationship with her parents, particularly her father. I mean, as you know, I worked with my father in this book about Malcolm X, and that relationship was just hugely strengthened and deepened, while we were working on this for a long time. And so I'm always, when I hear these stories about fathers and daughters, my ears always perk up. And just knowing how he supported her just kind of helped me dive into even my relationship with my dad and how he supported me in my dreams of pursuing reading and writing and learning other languages and traveling, and you talk about this scene even where her relationship with her mom is really tense. And is this simply because of, well, I guess it couldn't be simply because of the self-hatred we had talked about earlier. I mean, I think it was also Audre Lorde was also kind of rebellious in
Yes,
from
she
an early
was.
stage, from an early age. But her father, one time, defied her mother. Not a unified front on this one time. And that had to do with the book that Audre wanted to read that was banned.
Yeah.
And her mom was like, no, she shouldn't read it. And her father supported her.
Yeah, he believed that she should have access to any book. And he brought so many books home for his daughters. He was the one who, as somebody who was always at work, he was the one who took off from work to make sure that she could take the test to test into Hunter College High School. He really wanted his daughters to have every opportunity. And that was his form of love. Audre Lorde describes him as not being someone who talked about his emotions at all or, was kind of like affectionate in some of those ways. But he really believed in his daughters and he believed in Audre. And she knew how much he respected literature and that he believed that she could be a part of that if she wanted to and if she chose to. And the hard thing, the very heartbreaking thing, and the chapter that really focuses on their relationship. There was a long time I couldn't even copy edit that chapter, without crying because he doesn't get to see her be recognized as the literary figure that she became because unfortunately he died so young in his early 50s from a very extreme heart disease, which we now understand was definitely stress related. And she always knew that she felt like it had to do with emotional repression and what it was to try to fight for the American dream and experience all this racism, but also never express it. And so I thought it was really important to tell that story. And honestly, Audre's father, I feel like sometimes he guided the process. Like he was the one who I think now, I'm talking about this energetically. We don't know how any of this works, right? But I think that same energy that was supporting Audre really, I feel like, had a commitment and an interest in her story being told in a way that could honor and continue her literary impact. Because I would wake up in the morning and my first thought would be like, I remember waking up this one morning and my first thought was like, look up all the hurricanes that have ever been in Barbados. And I was like, what? What kind of thought is that to wake up within the morning, and I look it up. And that's when I learned that, there was this huge hurricane that impacted everyone in Barbados the year that Byron Lorde, Audre's father, was born. And I was like, I wouldn't have thought of that in some kind of linear way. But I felt like, she did write about her father, but more because she was in the craft of, creating Black feminism and creating feminism and part of a woman's movement. She wrote a lot more about her mother in her prose, but her relationship with her father was so important. And it was very important for me that every reader would be able to also connect with that. And there was just this experience when I was reading the audiobook, and the sound engineer in the studio was like near tears because he's a young man, he's a father, he has a daughter, a baby daughter, and he was just so moved by that aspect of it. And so I, as a person who my relationship with my father is really important to me, and he became an ancestor a few years before I started working on this book, it felt really important for that through line and that aspect of her life to be something that we could continue to connect to.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And can you talk about the title?
So Audre Lorde's always talking about survival, right? And her most remembered poem, A Litany for Survival, it rings true. It's being spoken at a rally somewhere, probably right now. You know, it's very empowering, and it's about raising our voices. She writes about survival all the time. What does she think survival is? What does it mean to survive? And her definition of survival is about our interconnection with everything that's living and how the living part of us goes on, even beyond our bodies, even after our deaths, right? But the place where that specific title comes from is in the margins of my favorite essay by Audre Lorde, which I know you're familiar with, Eye to Eye, Black Women, Hatred and Anger. I love that essay. And as she was writing it in the margins, one day she just wrote, I love the word survival. To me, it always sounds like a promise, but it makes me wonder what is the shape of my impact on this earth? And I saw that note years before I was writing the biography, because I wrote about, as I said, I wrote about Audre Lorde in my dissertation. I saw that while I was doing my dissertation research, and I was like, ooh, survival, you know, like, it sounds to me like a promise, right? That's what she said. And I was like, okay, so survival is a promise. And there are 10 sections of the book, and they all start with something that Audre Lorde said about survival, the ways that she theorized survival. And I think that we need it. We need her robust, expansive, life-giving definition of survival now as much as we ever have.
Yeah. And thank you for that. I mean, it just feels that you did such a great job in just bringing us closer to her. And it wasn't in a linear way. So if you want to know dates and times and exact moments, and you're accurate on those things. You do give those, but you give it more in an organic way of how they kind of unfold. And it's all connected as opposed to just it happened as it
Next.
happened and the next thing. And it's a complex biography in that way. And a literary biography. I looked at it as a literary biography, which shows interconnectedness of Audre Lorde to her work, to the planet, to life, and even to now. So thank you so much for this.
Thank you. Thank you for reading it. Thank you for having me here. As I said, this podcast is a source of support for me the entire time I was writing this. The beginning of my process was during COVID. I was just by myself. And so having the community of other biographers, you know, to learn from and to understand that it is a journey. And, you know, there are things that we face, but we're really committed to telling these life stories. This has been such a powerful space of community. So I'm really honored to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us.
You're so welcome.
That was scholar and author Alexis Pauline Gums speaking with bio member Tamara Payne about her latest book, Survival is a Promise, The Eternal Life of Audre Lorde. It was published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux in August 2024. Alexis Gums will serve as a panelist at Bio's upcoming conference, Telling the Stories of Black Lives Through Biography, to be held in Montgomery, Alabama on March 22nd. To learn more about Bio or to hear other episodes in our podcast series, please visit our website, biographersinternational.org. I'm Bio member Sonia Williams in Washington, D.C. Darren Neblett created our theme music. And until next time, thanks so much for listening and have a wonderful day.